This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Coming back in on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Going to get into a lot more Saints topics this segment. And we're going to go to the Okennard Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Bring in Catherine Terrell of ESPN to break down all that happened last week, what's going to happen this week, restructure season, all that good stuff. But first, and most importantly, Kat, how was your Mardi Gras? Are you officially on the other side of it? Have you turned the calendar from Mardi Gras season into restructure season?
I woke up at 7 a.m. this morning when my friends left. I started cleaning the house because I just couldn't stand it anymore. And it just felt like a cleansing. Like, we're moving on from the epic month-long Senior Bowl to Super Bowl to Combine to Mardi Gras parade of things happening. It's totally restructure season now, I guess.
Well, yeah, but before you came back to that, you did go out to Indianapolis. You spent time at the Combine. Yeah. You chatted with Mickey Loomis, Kellen Moore, Jeff Ireland. What were your biggest takeaways from those conversations as, you know, we kind of get deeper into this Kellen Moore offseason?
Yeah, maybe the difference was that Mickey Loomis spoke to the media this time versus it was just Kellen Moore and his opening presser. But they were way more firm on Derek Carr, obviously, as everyone knows now, than they were when Kellen Moore had his opening presser. For whatever reason, I don't know if Moore just didn't want to overstep in his first 2 days. Maybe it was the Loomis factor, but sometime between now and then, they decided Derek Carr is who they appear to be sticking with, and they're moving forward, I guess, structuring everything around that. And it wasn't really that surprising. I did this detailed cap breakdown that posted today, and it kind of said Derek Carr's the key to getting cap compliant. Cutting him would have made it extremely difficult to get under the cap and still maneuver in free agency, and also would have signaled that they're kind of giving up on the season in a way. And I just don't think they think like that.
Yeah, we talked previously about this, and it was like, you could have found a way to move on from Derek and do what you need to do, but it would have been ugly. It would have been scraping the bottom of the barrel,
right?
And you bring in a new head coach, and you're trying to sell him on a vision, and I don't know if that vision includes, yeah, but we're going to be real, real bad this year, but don't worry, it's going to be fine. I just think that's a tough thing to sell. Well, one other thing that I've seen noted is Mickey kind of intimated that the Saints are going to be a little bit more aggressive in free agency than maybe people might expect. I'm just curious. And it does seem like, hey, those things go hand in hand, right? Because if you're going to move on from Derek and you're going to figure things out that way, that kind of eliminates a lot of your options in terms of free agency. If you do keep Derek, and that would obviously imply you're going to restructure a majority of that contract, that's really the key, as you put it, to being active at all in free agency.
Yeah, I think it depends on how you think of it. I asked Mickey, you know, what does active mean? Active last year was signing Chase Young to that one-year contract worth about $15 million. Is active signing a lot of players? Is it signing the one big player? And he said, you know, it's kind of a question for a year from now. He said, look at the Zach Bond contract. He's like, that's a sore subject. However, that contract is ranked like 120th or something is what he said. It was a one-year minimum deal. And yet, Zach Bond was almost the defensive player of the year and just got a huge new contract today. So that, I guess, would say the Eagles were active. So it was kind of interesting to hear him say that. I mean, really, just him saying that at all said, okay, they really are going forward with Derek Carr. It's not just lip service, because if they weren't, they wouldn't get any of Carr's money back until June, because he'd have to be a post-June first cut, right? So just interesting to hear them say this, because I feel like they're going to be back in the same exact spot 1 year from now. They're going to have to figure out what to do with Carr. They probably will be tighter against the cap than it appears to be right now in 2026, and it all just feels very, let's get through this season, and then maybe we figure it out from there. I'm not sure what you think, but that was my perspective.
No, I think a lot of this is, you have a first-year head coach, and you want to give him the tools he needs, right? Whatever that looks like.
Sure.
You know, and you mentioned you put up a great article today. I went through it, the kind of a roadmap for, okay, how is this week plus going to go? The Saints have to be cap compliant by March 12th, which is the first day of the new league year, something you reported today. Eric McCoy, they've restructured that contract. That was kind of a no-brainer. There's a few no-brainer restructures on this, on the cap table. Not as many as there used to be, right? If you went back 5-6 years, you'd be like, okay, there's 7 or 8 names. You'd be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Now there's probably 3. But how do you expect this week, this process to go as the Saints navigate? What do they need to eliminate, and how do you expect it to play out?
Yeah, it's funny. I also read your salary cap story today. so good article. Lots of salary cap news today. And you didn't list out potential pay cuts, and I understood why, because that's something I don't love to do either. I have no idea what number both sides are thinking on, right? So I just chose an example for Cam Jordan. If he gets a potential pay cut, looking at Will Smith, the late Will Smith pay cut 10 years ago. Wow, can't believe it's been that long. But he took a $6 million pay cut to come back to the Saints. He was an older player. We wondered how many years he had left. That's significant cut. Would Cam take a pay cut similar to that? I don't know. It's all about leverage. I have trouble believing they would play Cam Jordan at $12.5 million this year. Really think that they have to work on that somehow. And that Taysom Hill is also a question. That one's trickier. Taysom was a very important piece to them last year. The way Mickey talked about Taysom last week, it shows they certainly have a great admiration for him and want him on this team. Do they want to pay him what they're paying him now, which is $10 million, I think? I don't know. So we're really just guessing. But anyway, pay cuts for those two, maybe a few more releases, and then you have the no-brainer restructures with these younger players that'll be on the roster for years to come.
Yeah, and I mean, what is your sense of should the Saints still be operating this way? Like, it's really easy to look at it and kind of, and I'm guilty of this at times, of just saying, okay, this is what's going to happen. This is what always happens. But you look at the last 4 or 5 years, and I wouldn't say that they have gone to plan, right? Like, you say, okay, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this, but then injuries happen, the roster seems thinner than it needs to be. Should there be a kind of, I don't know, revised playbook, if you will, in terms of how this is all being done, because it does seem like you're just kind of rolling the same thing back every year.
Mm-hmm. To an extent, yes, but, you know, we talked about this a lot in the media room, the two of us, I feel like, because I said months ago before I'd done the math, well, they should just play Derek Carr at his current $50.4 million salary cap hit. That would make releasing him next year easier. They shouldn't make this problem worse. Well, then you actually look at the numbers and you realize how extremely difficult that is based on the situation they've gotten themselves in. Same thing with some of these older players. They might have to keep players that they probably should have moved on from because of the nature of the salary cap and where they are. And I think really the larger problem is signing free agents to big contracts. I don't think they've done that a ton. I feel like there's years they've tried to scale back. But it kind of all started with Derek Carr, and then you add Chase Young to that. They could have kind of sat back, not signed these guys, tried to find a lesser, I guess, player to sign, and then they could have rolled over more cap space and maybe been in a better situation. So it really kind of comes down to, okay, they're going to get cap compliant, obviously. Are they going to be able to stop themselves from making their problem worse by signing some of these bigger contracts? And just based on what Luma said, maybe not. They want to compete. They don't believe in a total rebuild, and I think that they're just going to keep operating this way because the salary cap's going to keep going up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Kat, looking at your article, you also detailed four other players that contract restructures just make sense. And I want to get your thoughts on, obviously, as you mentioned, Eric McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, Carl Granderson, and Pete Werner getting restructures, which doesn't get you cap compliant by itself, but you detailed basically saves about $20 million in cap for this year.
Yeah, I think that those players just make sense when I'm trying to understand how they're thinking. They're younger players. Carl Granderson, his base salary is already guaranteed this year or a large portion of it and next year. So, okay, he's going to be on the roster. You restructure him. You obviously restructure McCoy. It's a young player who's vitally important to your entire offensive operation. Pete Werner just signed a contract extension, so he'll be around. So those are the players I look at and I say, okay, those are restructures that seem right to do. Then you go to the more difficult ones, like Cam. At this point, you don't want to keep restructuring because there's an endpoint to that, right? He's not going to be playing forever. He is in his mid-30s. And yet, how do they address that contract? It's a $20 million cap hit. It's got to be addressed in some way. And that just comes down to how much do they want these guys in the roster and how much do they envision them being on the roster. And if you see Cam being on the roster 2 years from now, maybe it's not that big of a deal. But I definitely think that they should scale back with some of the older players because otherwise next year you're probably going to have a big problem if DeMario, Cam, Tyron and Derek Carr and Taysom are all still on the roster and have to be addressed.
Yeah, and then Tyron Matthew made sure to make it clear on Twitter this week that he's 504 forever. I don't know if he gets to make that call technically, but I believe him. Two players who does seem like, well, we know one is definitely not going to be here next year, and the other one sure seems like he's not going to be. So Jamal Williams had his contract terminated this week. It's a small savings against the cap, but it is a start. I wanted your kind of reaction on that, and also if you could just kind of break down what is going on with Ryan Ramczyk, and assuming he retires after June 1st, what will that make for the cap hits this year and next year?
Jamal Williams seems like a no-brainer to me. The second they signed Alvin Kamara, I felt like he became expendable. Wow, Mardi Gras has really gotten to me. I can't even form words today. I apologize, y'all. I apologize. Tomorrow I'll be better. But yeah, so when I saw that news, I wasn't surprised at all. I just don't think the production matches the salary, and they couldn't really cut him last year because I think that would have actually hurt their salary cap, which is what happens with some of these contracts and the way they're structured. I also said it's possible Colin Saunders could be a cut. It doesn't save you that much, but it just depends on how much money they want to invest in the interior when Nathan Shepard's still in the roster and he's getting $7 million. So those two are two to look at, I guess, for surprise cuts. I don't know. That would be a surprise. And then the Ryan Ramczyk situation. That was one of the first and only moves they made for basically 2 months. He brought his salary all the way down to the minimum, which is what Drew Brees did years ago. It is a sign he will be retiring whenever he chooses to do so. What I expect will happen is that he will announce it, but he won't officially file the paperwork until June 2nd, which basically makes it so they can spread out a salary cap hit. They would account for $11 million this year and then $11 or $12 million next year, which is, you know, a little more palatable than trying to take on all of that at once.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it is funny because I've seen people listing out the cap space for next year, and then they post this gigantic number for 2027, and it's just, it's kind of funny because it's like, well, yeah, it looks that way now, except where do you think you don't just kind of erase that 43 or 46 million, you just kind of move it, right? Because, you know, like you mentioned, like Colin Saunders is an option, but there really aren't cut options. Like, that's the big thing that I think people have a hard time wrapping their head around when they look at this. Like, oh, cut the players. Well, you can't really, because that actually adds money to the bill. Like, the money you've pushed out over the future for some of these veteran contracts, yeah, you could cut them, but you might be breaking even. It might actually cost more against the cap this year. Like Derek Carr, you cut Derek Carr, it's like, yeah, okay, you're saving a significant amount overall, but this year it would be like $1 million against the cap that you're reducing. So cutting players just isn't really a viable option. And I think that's part of the reason that managing the cap this way is complicated, because like you can't just cut those players.
Right, and their restructure situation makes it more difficult to cut these players. I kind of broke this down a little bit in my story, and sometimes even I forget. So if you do a full restructure of Derek Carr's contract, you save $30 million this year. But what it does, it adds $7.7 million to each remaining year of deal. And so since they have all these void years, if they do that and they cut him next year as a normal cut, that's $42 million in dead money, or at least $19 million, even if it's a post-June first cut. So you have to look at, you know, how many years, even if they're fake, are left on the contract, and what are the consequences of pushing this money back? And the consequences are, as you said, you do this, and then the next year, it's all of a sudden, you know, putting you in the red to cut them. Even like looking at, I pulled up, you know, over the cap real quick, you know, looking at Cam Jordan's cap savings to cut, it'd be $4 million in the red right now. And there's ways around that. But, salary cap math is funny, but it sure is fun to mess with and make spreadsheets for every offseason.
Yes, this has been an edition of Salary Cap Math Class with Kat Terrell on WWL. Okay, one more question, and then I'll let you go. So there's a couple contracts that are kind of baked into everything that, you know, like Etano Passanio, Juwan Johnson, a Chase Young. What is your read on those players? Because it does feel like, hey, the Saints would have some incentive to work out an extension with a Chase Young or a Juwan Johnson, but those players would probably want to test free agency, right? So that wouldn't really be something they could manage prior to March 12th. I'm just curious what your read is on that.
My guess is that they would let Tano void just because, you know, because of the injury, he didn't really play this year. He's a backup, and it's a small salary cap charge. So you can absorb that one. The big one is Chase Young. I don't know what his free agency market would look like. His numbers are kind of hard to digest, like, you know, in the sense that he has a lot of pressures but not a lot of sacks. So how much money would he make on the open market? Pass rushers do get overpaid all the time. That's not even just, you know, that's not a shot at him. It's just their teams will pay for pass rushers just like the Saints did, and he's healthy. So, yeah, maybe he wants to test the market. The one that has me most curious is Juwan. I don't know where they stand with that. You have Taysom injured. You have Foster injured. I don't know where that one stands. But if he doesn't re-sign and avoids, that's a $6.5 million cap hit. So maybe if you could figure out a number smaller than that, that both sides would be happy about, that could work out. But that one is a big question mark, and I'm interested to see how that unfolds in the next 6 days, really.
Gotcha. Well, great stuff as always, Kat Terrell. You can find her work on ESPN. She did a great breakdown of all of this information. So if you want to go study up prior to this next week of restructure news, make sure to check that out. Thanks so much for the time, Kat. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And by the way, my favorite thing about this is that Eric McCoy could not do his restructure until today because he was enjoying Mardi Gras and riding on a float. So he is the mood that all of us have been in this entire week. And so it's been great.
Yes, if there's anything that screams New Orleans about Eric McCoy, it is that. But thanks so much.
Exactly.
Appreciate it.
Thanks again.
All right. Great stuff as always. And again, that was Salary Cap Math Class with Catherine Terrell.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.